Thank you, Miss Melody. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 26. So excited that you are with us today as we worship the risen Lord here at Friendship. Last Sunday, we began a new series that we're calling Character Matters. And so last time we discussed the forgotten virtue of honor. It's obvious that as a nation, we have become a culture without honor. In fact, we tend to treat most everything and everyone as common and ordinary. And we established a truth last week that while respect is earned, that honor is given. When we show honor, we are showing value. Honor has a way of lifting up. It has a way of encouraging others. And so our assignment for the week was to outdo one another in showing honor where honor is due. Today, we're going to zero in on one of the most important and yet forgotten virtues in the world today, and that is loyalty. Everyone say loyalty. I asked a number of folks over the last few weeks these character matters of character, and loyalty ranked at the top of the list. In fact, let's just try this. How many of you would agree that in our society today that disloyalty is a significant problem? Would you raise your hand if you think disloyalty is a significant problem? Keep your hand raised. I just want you to look around. Most every hand is up. All right? Have another question. Just want to take this a step further, and I need you to be honest. We've already established that disloyalty is a major problem in our culture. Here's question number two. How many of you would say that you, for the most part, are a loyal person? Would you raise your hand? Now, you see the tension for the sermon today, right? The tension is that we live in a culture where we would say that loyalty or disloyalty is a significant problem, and yet all of us are loyal. Right? The only thing I can figure is that there must be churches all over Paducah that are full of disloyal people, but none here. Amen? I'm thankful for that. But if you're taking notes this morning, this is the first thought that I want to share with you, and it is this, that disloyalty is difficult to see in the mirror. Disloyalty is difficult to see in the mirror. We tend to think that we're pretty loyal to others, but if we're ever not, it's because the other person deserved it. If we're ever disloyal, it's because they pushed us beyond our limit. But you know, when someone is not loyal to us, it's a whole different ballgame. When others are unfaithful, disloyalty is a big problem. So I want you to understand, disloyalty is extremely difficult for us to see in the mirror. Let me give you an example. When I was pastoring my first church in Southern Illinois, Second Baptist Church, DuQuoin, I had two deacons, and these men were faithful. They were dedicated men. Art Gant, Lloyd Louch were the two names. And both of those men, they were retired, and so when I had to make a trip to St. Louis to visit somebody in the hospital, one of them would almost always go with me. If I had visits to make in town, one of the two of those men would always offer to go with me. And so I developed a strong relationship with both of these men. We served together. We did ministry together for 5 years, and if you were to ask me, Jason, were you loyal to these men? I would say, absolutely. I was loyal to them, except for the backyard incident. I had gone to make a visit, and Lloyd went with me, and we had knocked at the front door, and no one answered. And, you know, 25 years ago, if you knocked on the front door, and someone didn't come to the door, but there was a car in the driveway, you didn't think twice about walking around the side of the house to see if maybe they were in the backyard. Maybe they just didn't hear the door being knocked. You don't do that nowadays or you get shot. But back then, that was common to do. And so Lloyd and I, we walked around the corner of the house. We were headed to the backyard. And about the time we got around the corner of this house, the next door neighbor had two pit bulls that we didn't know about until they came tearing around the house straight toward us. Now, I don't know if you know what pit bulls are, but if you ever watch the news, a single pit bull can eat like two-thirds of a neighborhood all by himself. I mean, they are scary. They are demonic creatures. And so these two pit bulls, they're tearing around the corner right at us, and Lloyd was standing kind of in between me and the pit bulls. And so as a faithful friend, I sort of pushed off of Lloyd so that I could go in the other direction. I got about three houses down before I realized that I'd knocked him down, and I was running the other way. These evil animals were coming at us. Well, thankfully, these dogs were on a chain. It was a very sturdy chain. But when I pushed Lloyd and I ran the other direction, I didn't know that. I didn't know they were on a chain. He didn't know that. We get back in the car, and he said, Brother Jason, he said, you realize that you pushed me towards death? when those dogs were coming. And I said, well, look, if it had to be you or me, it was going to be you. It wasn't going to be me. I would tell you that all day long that I am loyal, but when in a pinch, the reality is that I'm often loyal to myself. In fact, I would argue that most of us are. Disloyalty is it's a very significant issue, but it's difficult to see in the mirror. Let's look at what is the best biblical example of disloyalty in the New Testament. If there was one guy who would have claimed loyalty to Jesus above all else, it was Simon Peter. Over and over again, Peter said, Jesus, I've got your back. Jesus, I'm your man. If all of these other losers, if they leave you, I will not. I will never leave you. Jesus, I am your guy. I am a loyal guy. Pick up the story in Matthew 26. Peter promises the Lord, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Peter suggests that even if the rest of the disciples were to fall away, what did he say? He said, not me. I never will. Peter claimed his complete loyalty to Jesus. Peter said, I will never disown you. I promise to be completely loyal to you. And if you know the rest of the story, you know that before the evening was over, three different people came to Peter and basically asked the same thing. They asked, weren't you with Jesus? Weren't you with him? And Peter answered, Jesus who? What in the world are you talking about? I don't know anyone named Jesus. Three different people approached him, and after the third time, the scripture indicates that the rooster crowed. And you can almost sense this moment for Peter. It's like Peter says, oh my gosh, I promised. I promised to be loyal, but I was disloyal to the most loyal one I've ever known. I was disloyal not once, but three times. And in Matthew 26, verse 75, the Bible says, and Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Disloyalty is difficult to see in the mirror. A second thought we need to understand is that true loyalty is proven, not proclaimed. True loyalty is proven, not proclaimed. I asked earlier if disloyalty was a significant problem, and almost all of us agree that it was. When I asked, are you a loyal person, almost all of us said, absolutely. We agree that disloyalty is a significant problem in our culture today. It's just not a problem with me. But church, you need to know that loyalty is proven. It's not proclaimed. Proverbs 20, verse 6 points out, says, many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find. Solomon suggests that many will say that they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? So we have to learn as followers of Christ, we have to realize that we're not just to talk the talk, but we need to walk the walk. Church, our behavior and our belief need to match one another. Our character must match our confession. One of the greatest examples of loyalty in the history of sports happened in 1947. Pee Wee Reese and Jackie Robinson both played baseball for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And these two men were good friends. And what makes this story so meaningful is that Jackie Robinson was the first African-American baseball player. Jackie Robinson, he broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. That was a huge deal. There were fans who wrote death threats to Jackie Robinson. There were all sorts of horrible things said and done to this man just because of the color of his skin. It was a huge deal. History said that even some of Robinson's own teammates turned against him. Brooklyn was playing in Cincinnati. Jackie Robinson was playing second base. His friend Pee Wee Reese was at shortstop. And the crowd in Cincinnati, they started throwing things on the field. And they were booing and they were saying horrible things to Jackie Robinson. And about that time, his white friend, Pee Wee Reese, the shortstop, he took off his glove and he threw his glove down on the dirt. And he went and he stood by Jackie Robinson. And he looked at the stand full of people that were booing. And Pee Wee Reese simply put his arm around Jackie Robinson. And as he demonstrated his loyalty, as he demonstrated his support, immediately there was complete silence throughout the stadium. Jackie Robinson later stated that this one simple act did more than just save his career. He said he believed that it saved his life. In fact, it was such a special moment in history that a statue was constructed to symbolize this act of loyalty between two friends. Church, loyalty is proven. It's not just proclaimed. One of my favorite stories of loyalty in the Bible is a story that some of you may not be familiar with. We're familiar with the stories about David and Jonathan, but I want to show you one that you may have never seen before. It speaks of the loyalty between a soldier and King David. And let me sort of give you the context of the story. King David had a son named Absalom. And Absalom was his third son, and Absalom had committed a horrible crime. He ended up murdering a guy, and so he goes on the run for his life. Absalom was afraid, even though David remained faithful to him. About 3 years passed, Absalom returns home, and he brings with him a huge army. And his plan was to overthrow his own father from the throne. David had been faithful to his son, and yet Absalom was being disloyal to his father. So now, King David goes on the run. He's hoping to save his own life. But there's another guy, a guy by the name of Ittai, who comes on the scene. And Ittai was basically a mercenary. He was a hired guy. He was a commander of about 600 men. And even though Ittai had no skin in the game, he volunteered to fight on behalf of King David. 2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse 19, it says, "The king said to Ittai the Gittite," and I just need to pause for a moment. What was his mama thinking? I mean, she didn't think that through, right? Anyway, King David said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why should you come along with us? Go back and stay with King Absalom. You are a foreigner, an exile from your homeland. You came only yesterday. Go back and take your countrymen. May kindness and faithfulness be with you." So basically, King David offers Ittai a free pass. David says, "Look, you don't have any skin in this game. You don't have to fight in this battle. Why don't you just go home and take your men with you so that nobody gets injured and no one is killed?" In verse 21, Ittai responds, but Ittai replied to the king, and listen to the loyalty here. He said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king may be, whether it means life or death, there will your servant be." Now, church, not only did Ittai proclaim loyalty, but he proved it. He led 600 of his men in battle, and they fought so loyally that David later elevated him to be in charge of about a third of David's troops. David elevated Ittai because he embraced the virtue of loyalty. Ittai declared, "No matter what it costs me, no matter what anyone thinks, even if it costs my life," he said, "I will be loyal to the king." Ittai said, "I'm not going to be loyal to you just up to a point. I'm not conditionally loyal." But he said, "My loyalty is with you, and my loyalty is forever." What an incredible demonstration of this forgotten virtue of loyalty. For the next few minutes, I want to do something that is a little different. I'll be right back. Everybody read what that says. What does it say? Sarcastic Jason. I just want to teach you, since most of you are basically loyal people, I just want to be sarcastic Jason for a moment, and I want to share with you how you can be disloyal. And I just do that because you're all loyal people, right? So if you ever want to be disloyal, let me tell you how to do it, and I will give you three opportunities to be disloyal. A great place to start for beginning betrayers is to be disloyal to your spouse. That's the first area. If you want to be disloyal to your spouse, then you've got to learn to ignore God's word. Because let me tell you what Scripture says. Malachi 2 verse 15. The prophet speaks of marriage and he writes this, "Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth." The prophet says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? If you want to be disloyal, you just got to say, "Look, that's stupid. That's old fashioned." And guard your heart. Who cares about that today? God says to remain loyal to the wife of your youth. Look, if you've got a 50-year-old and you can trade her in for two 25-year-olds, go for it, right? I mean, that's how you be disloyal. Nobody cares about loyalty nowadays. If you want to be unfaithful or disloyal to your spouse, the most basic way to do that is just to have an affair. I know that we're all loyal people here, but did you know, according to recent studies, about 40 to 60% of married people will commit adultery on their spouse? That just amazes me. Let's dumb it down a bit. Let's talk about some creative ways, some subtle ways to be disloyal to your spouse. I've got a friend, and this guy is a master. He is masterfully disloyal to his wife. And let me tell you how he does it. He will pick at her. He does it by taking shots at her in public. It's always masked by humor. And this guy is brilliant. I mean, it's genius. He will pick his wife down. He will tear her apart with jokes. And when it gets to the point where she's had enough, he just says, well, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. You can be disloyal to your spouse by dishonoring them, by belittling them in public. Are you still with me, sarcastic Jason? Nobody's freaking out. You know, the problem is that somebody's going to go to our website, to our podcast this week, and they're going to catch about the middle of the sermon, and they're going to say, man, that guy's a lunatic. He's a psycho. No amens, please. But there are so many ways for us to be disloyal. Ultimately, though, one of the best ways is to make sure that you've put anything ahead of your family and your marriage. It could be your job. It could be a hobby. It could be your friends. It could be pursuit of material things. Find something that you can put ahead of your marriage and your family. That is a great way for you to be disloyal, is to put something else ahead of that which we're supposed to love. A second group of people that we can be disloyal to is our friends. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 17:17, Solomon said, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Now we read that and say, that's crazy. A brother is born to help in time of need? What are some ways that we can be disloyal to our friends? How about gossiping about them? Or better yet, we don't even have to gossip. We can listen to others gossip about our friend, and we don't stop them, and we don't correct them. Another way to be disloyal is to not love your friends enough to tell them the truth. If they ask you something and the truth might hurt their feelings, above all, lie. Don't tell them the truth. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Remember that your job is to make them feel good, not to tell them the truth. And above all else, don't confront them about something that they're doing that is destructive. Another idea. If you have a problem with a friend and you get a little upset, maybe they said something or they did something, just walk away. Don't ever try to work things out. Don't do the biblical thing, which is working through it and forgiving. Don't do that. Just walk away and keep walking. Sarcastic Jason, you have no idea how hard it is to preach like this. All of you are loyal people, right? One other opportunity for disloyalty is that you can be disloyal to Christ's church. The New Testament Christians in Acts, they were fanatical about this Jesus thing. I mean, they took Christ seriously. They believed in the church, and all of us know that in today's world, we don't have time really to be a part of the church. We want to add just a little bit of Jesus to our lives, but we don't want so much of Jesus that it makes us weird. We don't want enough of Christ that it makes us different. Just think about how crazy these people were in the New Testament. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and sharing in meals and to prayer. Luke describes these early believers. I mean, they were devoted. They were devoted to the teaching of God's word. They were devoted to one another. Who has time for that, right? I mean, we're busy. They were like this disgusting little community that did life together, and they cared about one another, and they ministered to one another, and they went deep into committed relationships. The early church, they shared their possessions with one another. They experienced unity. Let's just be honest. It's a whole lot more fun to disagree every once in a while, right? It's a whole lot more fun to divide and to fight. This whole unity thing, it's so outdated. Acts 2:46 goes on and says, every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. Now that seems a little overboard, don't you think? I mean, who has time for a daily commitment? Ain't nobody got time for that. If you want to be disloyal to Christ's church, then make sure that you attend sporadically. And the good news is that many of you do that already. Did you know the average American church member attends church one weekend a month? And they're regular church attenders. Just show up once every 4 weeks and you're average. And listen, when you do attend church, make sure you come with the expectation of having your needs met. Don't ever start thinking that you are the church or that you're here to meet the needs of the world. I mean, that's obviously jacked. And if you don't like something at church, if sarcastic Jason shows up and he does something that you don't like, then you've got the perfect excuse to never come back. Just get mad and leave and don't work on things and don't grow in your faith. Don't develop your relationship with Christ. If someone takes a program away, if somebody doesn't smile at you, or if your kid gets in a fight, then just go and don't come back. Friend, that's how you can be disloyal. I'm telling you, it is so much harder to preach that way than you can even imagine. So let's do away with that. All right, I'm back. In all seriousness, disloyalty is difficult for us to see in the mirror. And we know it's true because most of us acknowledge that although disloyalty is a huge problem in our culture, most of us don't think it's a problem for us. We tend to think that we're basically loyal people. And the problem is most of us are loyal, but we're loyal to ourselves. We don't like to admit it, but it's true. So where does disloyalty come from? Let's bring this whole subject into focus. The third thought is this, that all disloyalty is born out of a divided heart. It's born out of a divided heart. Let's think about loyalty from God's perspective. God created us to show us his love, to have close, ongoing fellowship with us. And God was so loyal to us that while we were still sinners, while we were being disloyal to him, he loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to die for our sins. Friend, even when we are faithless and disloyal, God remains faithful and loyal to us. So what does God ask from us? Well, what he asks for is this. He wants all of our heart. That's what he wants. He wants all of our heart. The greatest command recorded Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said, "It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength." Friend, God wants all of your heart. Now, I can't speak for you, but I can tell you tragically that God doesn't have all of my heart all of the time. I'd like to tell you that he does. I pray that he would. But if I look at the way that I live, I would acknowledge that I have a divided heart. And many of you, if you were honest, you would say the same thing. We have a divided heart. Listen to this instruction from James chapter 4. It says, "Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy." James says, let there be mourning and repenting for the division in our hearts. Now this is something that I am incapable of producing in your heart. What happens is that when you and I get close to God and we begin to see his goodness, and as we're made aware of our unfaithfulness and our disloyalty, friend, if that doesn't grieve you and if that doesn't drive you to your knees in repentance, then something is wrong deep within you. Friend, let it drive you to tears. Let it drive you to deep repentance. Listen, the fact that God has been perfectly faithful to us and yet our loyalty is divided. It's divided between a little bit of him and so much of this world. That ought to lead us to deep repentance and to grieving. The problem is that I want a little bit of God and I want what I want. I want to be loyal, but only when it works for me. I pray there would be deep repentance from all of us. So where do we go from here? Well, some of you need to go to your spouse or you need to go to your family. And you just need to say to them, look, it grieves me deeply that I have been disloyal. I have belittled or I have torn you down. I've been unfaithful with my eyes. I've been unfaithful with my actions. And with God's help, I will be loyal to you. Some of you need to go to a friend and say, look, I haven't been a very good friend. I haven't been there for you. I haven't been praying for you like I should. I've been so consumed with my own life. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, I will be faithful to you. I will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Maybe you've been disloyal or unfaithful to the church. I'm thankful for so many who are faithful to the church and the ministry here at Friendship. You recognize that you are the church, and I praise God for you. But many of you are guilty of just going to church. I want you to listen, friend. You and I are called to be the church. But unfortunately, many of us still see the church as a place that we go. Let me set you straight this morning. You are the church, and I am the church. I pray that with the hope of the help of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you will become the church and that you will be loyal to Christ's church, that you will be faithful to the church which Christ died for. Some of you may experience this miserable, aching feeling and say, God, I have been disloyal to you. And friend, it's okay to hurt. It's okay to cry. It's okay to get on your face. It's a good thing every now and then to say, God, cleanse me. God, change me. God, I recognize that disloyalty is a problem in our culture, but God, when I look in the mirror and when I study your word, I realize that disloyalty is also a problem for me. And God, with your help, because of the death and resurrection of your son Jesus, I will no longer have a divided heart. May God help us see any part of unfaithfulness in our lives. And as we're made aware, I pray that it pushes us to repentance, deep repentance. May God empower us to live, not just to proclaim, but to prove by our actions our loyalty to him and to one another. And friend, as you identify disloyalty in your life, I urge you, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Confess the areas where you find a lack of loyalty. Ask for his forgiveness. Ask him to help you be faithful. Faithful to him. Faithful to his word. And faithful to his call to be the church in this world. Some of you today, you recognize that you have never fully committed your life to the one who committed his life to you. And let me just put it as simply as I can. This is how God showed his faithfulness to you. The scripture says that while we were rejecting everything that he said, he sent his son Jesus to become the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. For Jesus became sin on the cross where he shed his blood, the innocent one, the Lamb of God. He shed his blood so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. Friend, Jesus died for you. But praise be to God, on the third day, the Bible teaches that God raised him from the dead, victorious over sin and death and the grave. And so if you recognize your unfaithfulness to God, if you're aware that he is not Lord of your life, then right where you are, you say to him this morning, Jesus, today, I surrender my life to you. I need your forgiveness. God, as I turn from sin and self, I invite you to come into my life and to make me new. Friend, let Jesus be first in your life in every way. Give him all of your heart today. As followers of Christ, it's important that we let others know of our life-changing decision. And so in just a moment, as we stand and sing together, as soon as we start singing, you meet me down front and you declare publicly your faith in Jesus Christ. If God's leading you to join this church family, then friend, don't wait. Don't delay. But you come. Come today and make a commitment to worship and to serve the Lord alongside some very faithful people here at Friendship. Would you pray with me?